My dear swan, you reside in the pure water of the holy sites of pilgrimage, and you take great pleasure in feeding on the stems of lotuses, and are hardly interested in the ephemeral things of this world. Thus we recognize you to be a great soul. With this belief, and considering your magnanimity, I seek your help, for I am a very distressed and weak woman. Kindly oblige me, for I know that one who seeks the shelter of a noble person is never disappointed. Krishna is famous for his romantic nature, but we know that this is only a deception. He threw us into oblivion long ago and went to live happily in the city of Mathura, while we remain here constantly scorched by the fire of separation. Please take pity on us and immediately go to Mathura and narrate the condition of our pained hearts to him. Oh, my dear swan, I bless you that your journey to Mathura will be safe and Godspeed your way. Kindly have compassion on us and don't delay a moment. Spread your wings in the sky with a joyous heart and let the playful children of the cowherd men run beneath you with their eyes cast up at you flying above. O king of birds, Raja Hamsa, please give me your attention and I shall explain to you the route to be traveled. Follow the universally famous road to Mathura, along which the merciless Akora speedily led the most beautiful youth who is the master of our lives. Go along that path upon which you see the gopis, whose cheeks are drenched with tears gushing from their doe-like eyes. Even now, they are suffering from intense absorption in the desire to be reunited with their lover. Follow that road, which is marked with the wheels of the chariot, which exulted at the touch of his lotus feet. O feathered friend, please drink the fragrant waters of the Yamuna, which are as blue as a jumbo fruit, and satisfy yourself with some tender lotus stems, which are as soft and as cooling as camphor. Then rest a while under the deep shadows of this large branched tree before starting for Mathura. When Akora carried away the master of our hearts, the gopis followed for a great distance, grieving loudly. Follow the path they took on that day, and I guarantee you that your achievement of the highest perfection in spiritual life will be assured. Then you shall truly become worthy of the name Paramahansa. Oh, dear swan, one day Krishna suddenly stole our garments while we were bathing in the Yamuna and climbed up a kadamba tree. Then he made us reveal our secret love for him. You may enjoy resting on the branches of that tree, whose thick foliage prevents the sun's scorching rays from penetrating therein. In this place, Krishna distributed the loveliness of his form in the 10 directions as he began the rasa dance by playing sweetly on the simple flute which kissed his lips, expanding waves of supreme joy. He wore his peacock feathered headdress and a most precious silk cloth which glowed like gold. His body was a glossy black like the tamal tree. How sweet was he in the sound of his flute that night. That sight of Hari's Rasalila is decorated by the black musk which dripped from the bodies of the cowherd maidens as they danced engrossed in those loving pastimes with their lord. That place where the gopis danced in circles is still shining with pulverized malati flowers. O swan, when you see this rasa stali, you will experience divine beatitude. Near that rasa playground stands Govinda's passion pavilion, shaded with creepers of madhavi flowers. I forewarn you, do not cast your eyes at that retreat of Hari's, lest your heart should erupt in celestial joy, for then you would become rooted to the spot and shall never proceed to Mathura. If that should happen, we gopis would surely die. No, never mind. Take a look at that spot of Krishna's most intimate pastimes, because such a vision will purify your heart, even though your being delayed will interfere with the speedy fulfillment of our desire. Still, it will not go in vain. For anything, any quality, is only of value if it helps us to remain conscious of Krishna always. Upon hearing the irresistible sounds of his melodious flute, the gopis would hastily run toward Govardhan Hill to meet with Krishna. There, many flowered cottages covered the hill just for Krishna's enjoyment with the gopis. And thus Govardhan is an eyewitness to all these events. Krishna used to lie on the large stones of the hill when he took the cows out to pasture there. For Govardhan is the well-wisher of the cows. Feast your eyes on that mountain, for it will arise great delight in you. Govardhan became a knower of ras due to receiving the touch of Krishna's lotus hand. We believe that Govardhan is the greatest of all mountains on earth. At the foot of Govardhan is a tamal tree, upon seeing which the Pulinda tribal women have become agitated. Their bodies have become impassioned due to constantly remembering Govinda. When you fly past them, the wind stirred by your wings, moistened by Yamuna water, will instantly soothe them, even if only for a moment. Not far from there is another grove of Kadamba trees, where Radha's lover displayed his expertise in the arrangement of exciting ways of dealing with women by demanding taxes from the gopis. If you rest under those Kadamba trees even for a moment, you will experience rapturous bliss. If not, your reputation as an enjoyer of ras will be in vain. On the outskirts of Vrindavan, you will see the dried skull of the Arista demon, as white as the clouds of the autumn season. These decaying bones are often mistaken for the mountains of Kailash by the servants of Kuvera and companions of Shiva who try to ascend to its peaks. The condition of the gopis has become extremely acute due to their separation from their lord. Seeing them, one would not think that they are still alive. I humbly request you to proceed to Mathura, calling sonorously, as that sound will pass for the sound of Hari's ankle bells, which, when heard by the gopis, will cause the return of the life heirs, which have now all but deserted their bodies. Dear messenger, I request you to dwell upon for some time the deep blue-colored branches of the Bandira tree, which looks so brilliantly beautiful in the bright sunshine. While you sit there inundated by the sun's rays, it will be as if Lord Narayan has appeared holding his conch and disc and is about to cover the sky in his form as Trivikram. O most clever one, if you go to the place where the grasses are sprinkled with the pure tears of love which flowed from Brahma's eight eyes as he sang Krishna's praises, then the forest devis will assume that Brahma himself has returned on his swan carrier. On the occasion of Krishna's fight with the serpent Kaliya, the gopis rushed anxiously to the Yamuna to see what was going on. But the path became so slippery from the tears which spurted in streams from their eyes that they became unable to proceed steadily as they stumbled and fell. Thus delayed, their anxiety increased so much that the state of their minds became indescribable. But Murari was simply dancing on the heads of that monstrous serpent Kaliya, displaying his superhuman talents as well as his heroism. At that time, the ruby red jewels from the snake's foreheads fell into the Yamuna's bluish waters, producing a beautiful violet effect. Oh, dear one, please taste the holy waters of that lake, which is scented by the fragrant pollen of the Kadamba trees which stand on its banks. In a spot near Kaliya Lake, You will come across the goddess Vrindadevi, who lives there in the shape of a tulsi plant. Her body is wilting due to the fire of separation from Krishna. Her lamentation increases when she sees the new flower buds appearing on her branches, for she knows that Krishna is not there to enjoy them. Only she can really appreciate the anguish of the gopis, and therefore you must honor her with all humility and reverence.